Reading is taken from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, and can be found on page 1184 of a Pew Bible. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
So this morning, our title is Open a Door. And I brought my keys with me, not going anywhere, not being a runner, but I want us to think about, through this service, about keys. About the keys that God has given us to help us open a door. So we'll come back to those later. So the image of the door is used a lot in the Bible. And Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, so that our hearts, our minds, our wills are pictured as a door, and Jesus is standing there and he is knocking. In Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, ask and you will receive, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. So this morning, as we think about doors, Paul is praying for an open door, and we need to pray for open doors in other people's lives. Now, for some reason, God chooses us to work in partnership with, in our flawed and human state, he wants us to open this door with him. So we're going to be thinking about this morning how we can open these doors. So, Colossians. Colossae would be found in modern-day Turkey. And it's a place where things grew. The ground was fertile, the ground was good. I've read there are figs and olive trees there. Wool was a prosperous industry too. And it was a place where lots of different cultures lived together. So there were Phrygians, there were Greeks and Jews, all different worldviews, all different philosophies living in the same place. And it was into this setting that Epaphras had founded the church at Colossae. Now, first of all, he was a Colossian himself, but he was Paul's representative at Colossae. And in this letter, he has gone to Paul and said, I need help. And he's gone to his wiser friend and saying, the church, there's some problems and I need your help. So Paul is writing this letter to the Colossians to help Epaphras. The people in Colossians were struggling to find the truth. They've fallen foul to false teachings about Jesus. So they needed some correction. They needed some guidance. I love that this servant of Christ, Epaphras, someone who labored with Paul, someone who himself was in prison for his faith, a man of caliber, turns to somebody else for help. There is a problem, and I can't do it by myself. How good it is to have Christian friends who we can get alongside, and when we are in trouble, we can turn to help for help. Epaphras turned to his friend. So the passage seems to fall into two parts this morning. In verse 2 to 4, we could give it the subtitle, Talking to God About People. And the last two verses, we could entitle, Talking to People About God. So using those two ideas, I think we'll explore this passage a bit more this morning. I really hope that God would give us some ideas about how we can talk to him about people and how we can talk to God about the people around us, and in turn, how we can then talk to people about our Lord and our Saviour. So verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Never give up praying. The disciples were told to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane just before Jesus was crucified. They were told to pray. The Bible tells us that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes and prays for us all the time. Epaphras himself is known as a man of prayer. In Colossians 4 verse 12, it says, "Your own Epaphras, who serves Christ Jesus, sends his greetings. He always prays hard that you might fully know what God wants you to do, and that you may do it completely." His prayer was that they would grow as believers, that they would experience a deep relationship with their Saviour. Prayer is so important. It's something that we need to be devoted to. We should love it. As the hymn writer knows, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. So we need to be devoted to prayer. But we also need to be alert and thankful. When I read this part, I just thought of meerkats standing up, looking around, being alert. I think they're really funny. But if you're alert, you know what's going on. Meerkats work together. They work as a group to ensure survival. So these lookouts are there to look out for predators and hawks that would come and sweep and take them away so that they can call out if there's danger nearby. Others are off looking for food, while these meerkats are looking out and they're being alert. Now, we're told to be alert when we pray. It's interesting if we prayed like this, wouldn't it? Looking out all the time like a meerkat. We need to be aware of what's going on. We mustn't bury our heads in the sand. We need to keep watch. We need to listen. We need to listen to what's going on around us in our world. We need to listen to our friends and hear what their concerns and what their troubles are. We're told to be thankful. And we are to pray with thankful hearts. Now, there are times in life when it's difficult to pray. And we cry out to God in frustration in our hurts, or our confusion because things aren't making sense. But we are to be devoted to prayer. We're to be alert in our prayers. And we are to be thankful in prayer because God has given us all that we need to sustain ourselves. Paul, who is in prison when he's writing this letter, is telling the Colossians to be thankful when they pray. Paul, in his situation, is able to be thankful when he prays. And he's showing us that even though we face adversity, because we do, we can still be thankful when we pray. So verse 3 tells us, "Be sure to pray that God will make a way for us to spread his message and explain the mystery about Christ." The God we serve, the God who Paul is talking about here, is the same God who made a way for the Israelites to escape from Egypt. The Bible tells us that God makes a way where there doesn't seem to be any way. Paul says we are to pray that God will make a way for us to spread his message and explain the mysteries of Christ. Paul locked up, chained, he's got a physical door closed in front of him, believes that God will open the door of people's hearts so they are able to hear the gospel. Paul believes that God will make a way for him to share good news, whether it be to fellow prisoners or the guards. And we are to pray that God will make a way, that even the most stubborn heart will soften at the love of Christ. We serve the same God that Paul served. We must pray and ask God to make a way for us to spread his message. In Acts 16, verse 25 to 26, we read, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God, while the other prisoners listened. Suddenly, a strong earthquake shook the jail to its foundations. The doors opened, and the chains fell from all the prisoners. The same God who opened the doors of the prisons that night opens the doors of people's hearts so that when we hear the good news, when we tell the good news, those doors begin to open. But prayer is one of the keys. So we've thought about speaking to God about people. That comes first. I think it's really important that we realise that that's the priority. That's the first thing that we need to do. And when we've done that, this is what we're able to do next. We are able to speak to people about God. Verse 5 says, when you are with unbelievers, always make good use of the time. Be pleasant. Hold their interest when you speak the message. Choose your words carefully and be ready to give answers to anyone who asks questions. We did a bit of that last night at Pints of View. There were lots of questions. And I think today there will be more questions that people will be thinking about, more things people will be struggling with and wrestling with, more opportunities to answer those questions. The message puts it this way. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. It reminds me, Nick, of when you shared about being shrewd as believers. There's this sense of shrewdness here. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in conversation, not to put them down, and not to cut them out. The New International Version, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. As I mentioned at the beginning, God chooses to work with us. He chooses us in the places where we are, with the people that we meet, to be the people who bring the good news to our friends, to our colleagues, to our neighbours. It's our responsibility. It's our duty to tell people outside our fellowship, outside our church, about the gospel, because it really is good news. It is great news that Jesus came to this world. It is amazing news that God sent his Son to die for us so that we might live in all its fullness. We are on the greatest adventure. Our life has meaning and it has purpose, and we have hope. That's amazing. What we say and what we do shows to others the one that we follow. We need wisdom. We need to be consistent. We need to be ready to answer questions. The Bible tells us about being salt and light. And in the rabbinical traditions, to be salty was to be witty as well, to be lively and to be interesting. I'm sure you've all got a friend who's got a hobby that maybe is really boring and they just don't stop talking about it. I don't want to name any hobbies, I don't want to offend anyone. But sometimes people can bore us, can't they, going on about the thing that really interests them. But as Christians, we're not supposed to be boring when we talk about our faith. We're supposed to be lively, interesting, witty. They're the skills that we need in order to bring people to God, because our God is amazing. He is not boring. We need to be the key holders. We need to help open those doors. We need to carry our keys with us at all times. You know what it's like when you've lost your keys and you can't find them and you should be out the door in 5 minutes and you can't because you don't know where your house keys are and you can't get back in, you can't get out. It's a pain. Where did you put them last? If I knew that, I wouldn't be looking for them. God has given us keys. We have them all the time. They might be really deep in our pockets. We might have forgotten that they're there. But God has given us keys to open the doors. And we need to get those keys out and work out which key is going to open the door for this person. What comment do I need to make? How do I need to be? How can I console them? What's the right thing to do here? choosing the right key. God has given us those keys. We need to trust him. We need to walk with him. We need to listen to his spirit that prompts us so that we choose the right key. When somebody asks a question about you or your faith, it's like a knock at the door. And when there's a knock at the door, we have different options. Number one, we ignore it. We used to do that at Halloween in my house when we were kids. Turn the lights off, don't open the door. When there's a knock at the door, we could ignore it. It's like saying, a colleague might ask, what are you doing this weekend? This happened to me a few weeks ago. I said, nothing much. Do you know what I was doing that weekend? I had set the whole of Saturday aside to go to New Wine Women. I had made space in my life. I had sorted out my family. I had put that whole day aside because I wanted to meet with God that day. I recognized that there was something amazing. I just wanted to put myself in a place where God could speak to me that day. What did I say to my colleague? Nothing much. Nothing could be further from the truth. It was like I had shut that door. I wasn't even going to open that door. I wasn't going to get that opportunity out. Lost my key for that one. Sometimes there's a knock at the door. We answer it. Not today, thank you. And we push that person away. And we don't answer their question. And we don't make the most of that opportunity. Maybe we don't feel equipped to answer what they might ask us. Or we open the door and we let someone in and we engage with them and we do our very best to have the right key for them so that the opportunity that God has given us that day in that moment, we make the very most of it because we have the best news ever to share with people. We are surrounded with opportunities to share our faith. We just need to open our eyes, remember our keys as we go out and see them. Last week, I was doing the reading and I forgot my glasses. I'm not very good at reading without glasses. I've got two pairs and none of them were in the handbag that I took to church that morning. And it made me think, sometimes when we look with our human eyes, we look at our friends, we look at our families, we look at our jobs, we get involved in the mundane and the everyday because we need to. But we forget in that mundane and in that everydayness, there is God's perspective across it all. And when I put my glasses on, it reminded me that I'm not just looking at it through my eyes. I am looking at things through God's perspective too. And he is calling us to see our friends and see our workplaces and see our colleagues and our neighbours with his eyes and make the most of all the opportunities that there are to talk about him. Luke 11 verse 52 says, "You teachers of the law of Moses are really in for trouble. You carry the keys to the doors of knowledge about God. You never go in, and you keep others from going in." Harsh words. I don't want to hide my keys. I don't want to stop people from entering into a relationship with God. I want to play my part. So what are we going to do with those keys? Are we going to open the door for someone? We're told to pray, devote ourselves to prayer, be alert, be thankful. And if we do that, God will make a way. We know that everything starts with prayer. Pray and pray and pray all the time. Maybe God is encouraging you this morning and telling you that you are being faithful in prayer. And to keep going, because he hears those prayers. He has not gone deaf. He has not turned away. He hears our prayers. And you are right to turn to him. Maybe God is nudging us to find more time for prayer. sometimes we stop praying because it's hard. But God is asking us to pray. And what happens when he prays? When we pray, he opens the doors. He makes opportunities for us to answer questions. Last Friday at work, the children were raising money for Red Nose Day. I am in a school hall about half the size of this. There are stalls everywhere with cakes and sugar and hairspray and all sorts of things going on. The noise level is up here. It's manic. There are kids everywhere trying to buy things and count out money. And I'm standing with a colleague who has just started working with us. And I was talking about Jacob not able to bring pound coins that day, had to take change. So I said, we went into our lent jar, that WaterAid, we're collecting for WaterAid because of Sunday Club. I thought, I wonder where this will go. And she said, I've started going back to church for Lent. What an opportunity. In the middle of this hall, with all this noise, God gave me an opportunity to talk about faith. So then we start talking. So where do you go to church? Well, I go to church too. And this conversation builds. I now know, she now knows I have faith. She didn't know before. I know that she is journeying in her faith. Thank God for that opportunity. May I see more opportunity with my colleague. May I see her as God sees her. May he use me as an instrument in bringing her nearer her faith. We have keys. Lots of different keys. That day, my key started with dropping in something about Lent. I wonder what keys you've got in your pocket, because God's given you some amazing keys. And he wants you to take them out, to realize that you've got them with you everywhere you go, to put the glasses on and see things from God's perspective and think, Lord, which key? Give me wisdom, Lord. Which key do I need to use today? Which key? Make me ready to quickly turn that lock, open the door, help somebody get nearer to you. Because it is good news. And we want everyone to share in this good news. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that you're encouraging us to pray. That you are showing us through what Paul has written that we need to pray first. We need to remind ourselves that every day we walk with you. Every day we can turn to you. Father, I want to thank you that we are all different. I want to thank you that you have put us in the places that you have. There is a plan for each of us. The people you have put us alongside, it is no accident. Father, encourage us. Give us wisdom. Help us rely on your Spirit to know which keys to unlock the doors for people. Thank you that you partner with us, that for some reason you choose us to help you spread your message. Lord, encourage us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we go with you. Amen.